I am so excited we're back. So excited that we're back. I cannot wait. As you know, I preach this message every week to my dog who stays asleep. And I preached it to my dog yesterday. And my husband was upstairs, which I was really mad at. Anybody else, when your husband stays home on the most inconvenient days, and then the days you need them to stay home, they don't? That was my yesterday. I was like, I really was fussing at him on text. And finally he texted me and said, "You are mean." Because I really was mad. I was like, this is my routine. I was having a solitude day. He's like, I will hide upstairs. I said, hide at the daily grind. Go somewhere. So I was getting fired up in my kitchen, and my dog was asleep, and I was about to lose my voice. So I am so excited. I even wore my shirt, because what we're going to do over these next 8 weeks is we are going to break down the characteristics of the eagle. Now listen, I read in Ecclesiastes a couple days ago. I just want you to know that it is so true that what King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new under the sun, it's true today. There is nothing new. Listen, I take a lot of things from what other preachers say, and let me tell you something. They take a lot of things from what other preachers say. There's nothing new. So I'm not going to give you anything new. Possibly you've heard it, but let me tell you what I believe will happen and what's going to happen over these next 8 weeks. Is you're going to receive something that you might have heard back by somebody else, or another preacher said that, or somebody else said that, or you read that somewhere. But what I'm believing that God's going to do is he's going to put his revelation on it and his inspiration, and it is going to hit you, and it is going to land on you, and it is going to transform you. How many of you read the 23rd Psalm? You know the 23rd Psalm, but for some reason, one morning you pick up your Bible and you read the 23rd Psalm and it slaps you in the face. That's because it's been inspired. It's a rhema word. We talked about that last session. It is rhema. It is for that moment. And I believe God is going to give each one of you a rhema, a now word every week. So I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to fight to get here. It's only 8 weeks. I had my sweet neighbor that moved. She drove an hour and 15 minutes to get here, y'all. I'm telling you, no, don't come for me. No, please. You don't want to hear what I have to say. I don't have anything good to say. But what I have to say is an inspired word from the Lord, and I believe it's for you. So get here. Get here if you can, at all costs. I got so many texts this morning of mamas that have already signed up and they couldn't come today because sickness or something happened. Y'all, it's gonna happen. You have now moved to the most wanted list, because the devil does not want you in here. He does not want you sitting under the word of God. But I can promise you, God has something for you. He gave me a word for you this morning, and I'm just going to tell it to you. I was driving in, and I was listening to Bethel Worship. There is no other worship that I listen to when I teach than Bethel Worship, because it just lights me on fire. And I was listening, and the Spirit of God spoke through a worship leader, and God said, "Joy, I am coming this morning to Moms with Swords to overwhelm the thing that is overwhelming every mom that comes. Mom, today you have a holy assignment by God. He wants to overwhelm everything." And listen, I got a 16-year-old driver. He wants to overwhelm everything that is overwhelming you. That is his word for you. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at the eagle. Isaiah 40:31 is our theme verse. Again, a very familiar scripture. You've heard it many times. But those who wait for the Lord, I love the Amplified, who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God. Like eagles rising toward the sun, they will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. And we're going to dissect 8 characteristics of the eagle. And today, the characteristic we're going to start with, the Lord said, I want you to start week 1 with freedom. 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 Did you know that in 1787, the American bald eagle was officially adopted as the emblem of the United States of America? It represents freedom, and it was chosen due to its long life, its great strength. Ann's gonna put a picture. Look at that, y'all. The Bible says this is what we can do. It was chosen because of its majestic look. But listen, it said that Benjamin Franklin was vehemently opposed to the eagle. He said it would have been better for a turkey to have been picked than an eagle. But I don't agree. Because this, look at those majestic wings. We are going to dissect so many characteristics of the eagle. But today, we're starting with freedom. So I wore my shirt that I bought for my sweet friend's mission trip. And I got my clip in case I need it. Freedom. Barna Research in 2015 did a survey. I love Barna. What do Americans believe about Jesus? And this is what their research showed. Roughly 2 out of 5 Americans have confessed their sinfulness and professed faith in Christ. Many adults, however, believe they will go to heaven as a result of their good works. People will believe they'll go to heaven because they have tried to obey the Ten Commandments. 5% believe they'll go to heaven as a result of being good. And if you know my father's story, who died a few sessions ago during session, my father was in that 5%. He believed, you ask my daddy and my sweet little Catholic Italian daddy anytime, Dad, are you going to go to heaven? I'm good enough. I haven't drank and I haven't smoked and I haven't done anything bad. But at 89 years old, in his hospital room, 2 weeks to the day before he would go into the presence of Jesus, my sister and I led him in the prayer of salvation that had nothing to do with how good he was. And he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. It's not about being good. 8% will believe they'll go to heaven on the grounds that God loves all people and he wouldn't let them perish. I want to stop right here. And I want to pray. Jesus, thank you for the finished work of the cross. That is the emblem, the symbol that represents freedom. We are free because of the sacrifice you made on our behalf. We are not free because we're good. We're not free because we follow the law, the Ten Commandments. We are free because of the beautiful blood of Jesus. That was a sacrifice for all. Would you speak freedom into every soul in this room and every soul that is listening by podcast? Freedom reigns in this place because of what Jesus did on our behalf. Amen. Mike Slick, I felt a good summary to what this research found. I go to this website often, and you should visit it too. It's called CARM. It's the Christian Apologetics and Research. I love apologetics. My daughter is at a Christian school, and next year in her junior year, she's going to be taking as her Bible course. It's going to be a whole year of apologetics, and her boyfriend has already gone through it, and he said it's the coolest class ever. So I am going to go sit in this class next year in her Bible class. She's like, Mom, are you sure? But of course, she's really like, come on. But it's all about apologetics, and I go to this website often, and I just thought after I read that research, the Lord led me to this. Mike Slick, who is the president and founder of CARMResearch.com, said, one of the signs of being a true Christian, besides believing the true gospel, is experiencing a sense of freedom. We realize that we do not have to keep the law in order to please God. We realize that God's favor upon us is not dependent upon our obedience, thank you, Jesus, or our law keeping. God's favor upon us is because of what Christ did on the cross. Therefore, we are free. End of story. I disobeyed this morning, but praise God, I'm still free. We mess up all the time. Your kids mess up all the time, don't they? But they are still free. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son or daughter and be unquestionably free. Are you free? Yes, you are. Are you walking in freedom? It's up to you. Are you free? Absolutely. Galatians 5:1. This is Paul. He's saying, so stand strong for freedom. The anointed one freed us so we wouldn't spend one more day under the yoke of slavery, trapped under the law. Galatians 5:13. Brothers and sisters, God has called you to freedom. He's called you to freedom. And then Galatians 5:1, I got to read it in the Amplified. It is for freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, mom, keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, which you once removed when you accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on your behalf. That yoke of slavery was gone. But so many moms, we pick it back up. Something comes up with our kids. Oh, we pick that back up. Listen, I got a driver now, and every time she drives out of the driveway, I pick up that yoke of fear. I put it right around my back. And every day God's saying, you release it to me because she's mine, she's not yours. Something happens at a school. Listen, my middle schooler, there was a school shooting supposedly at our high school yesterday. I got a text from my middle schooler saying, Mom, we are on code red, and everybody around me is freaking out. I said, Sophie Kate, you are armed and you are dangerous. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. You stand firm in your faith. You do not pick up fear. No matter what happens, God is beside you. I could have picked it up then, but I said, no. You are free. You are free because of what God did for you, but walking in freedom is up to you. Look at this word, freedom. I love to dissect words. And in the Greek here in Galatians, Paul, this freedom in the Greek, it's eleutheria. And it means liberty to do or omit things. Look at this. This is what's so important. Having no relation to salvation. Freedom. It does not mean you're not saved. Remember that saying, not all who wander are lost? Let me say to you, not all who are saved are free, are walking in freedom. Not all who wander are lost, and not all who are saved are walking in freedom. I am saved, therefore I am free. Absolutely. I am saved, but it is my choice to walk in the freedom that is mine in Christ Jesus. Freedom, it has nothing to do with your salvation. You are saved, sealed with the blood of Jesus. But it's your choice, Mom. Every day, sometimes when you got kids, like we all do, it's a moment by moment choice. A moment by moment choice. In her book, I read this book, our whole team read this book, and it's going to be we're going to have a resource of the week as well, and this is going to be our resource of the week. It's a book, and it's called She is Free by Annie Andrew. Every one of you need to read this book. She says this, when I simply become aware of his unending presence in my life, it's amazing how easily he replaces all my fears. which come out of a conscious or unconscious partnership with the enemy, the enemy's lies, with his pure love. Oftentimes, and man, I so put my name right here, oftentimes, joy, you meditate on negative thoughts and disastrous outcomes, but purposefully abiding, John 15, in God and in his love is the perfection of our faith that aids in the daily cultivation of our freedom. Right there, y'all, John 15. Daily abiding will aid in the cultivation of you walking out the freedom that was so costly for you to walk out in. It cost him a lot. It cost him his life. And he wants you to walk in freedom. Are you walking in freedom today? Are you mothering from a place of freedom? Because I can guarantee you, the very things that chain you up and lock you up will be the same things that chain and lock up your babies. They will. Some of you know the story. I love to be very real and vulnerable up here. And listen, I was very aware this morning. The Holy Spirit beckoned me in my spirit to pray against condemnation. And I am calling that out in the name of Jesus right now. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, alive in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Listen, do not pick up the yoke of condemnation in the name of Jesus by hearing this message today. I'm going to put myself out. I'm very exposed in my teaching. Those of you who know, I drop my pants a lot. So there is no condemnation. I just want to say that. I want to call that spirit out in the name of Jesus and expose him. I've told you the story several years ago of the snow apocalypse. The first snow apocalypse. Man, we've had like four of them this year. But the first one, I think it's 2015. I had just gotten my brand new minivan. And y'all, my husband is not a car person, so he makes me drive cars forever. 12 years I drove my van, 276,000 miles on. He kept saying, give me a reason, give me a reason. I just want one. So he bought me my brand new Honda Odyssey. I'm still driving it. I will be driving it till the wheels fall off. I loved it. It was snow apocalypse. And I was at boot camp at the Y, one of our favorite things to do. Many of you go there and you see me. I usually don't. My hair's usually up, and I'm in my yoga pants, which is what I usually love to be in. I had been to boot camp, and it's starting to snow. All of our kids, at this time, they were all three over. Our schools that we're supposed to go to are in the boondocks. Boondocks, like Curvy Road and off this elementary, high school, and middle school. And at the time, I had two elementary and one middle. Sydney was in middle school. They're all out there in the boondocks. My husband's in Buckhead, and it starts snowing. We walk out of boot camp, and Ann is from Minnesota. So I'm like looking to her like, oh, she's like, that's nothing. This nothing's nothing. So I go on to Chick-fil-A. That's my other favorite thing I do. Every day I go to Chick-fil-A, get my large sweet tea, lots and lots of ice, splash of lemonade. Some of you bring it to me here. I'll go get it after here. I went to Chick-fil-A, and I'm noticing, like, the road's getting white. And so I'm hay-tailing with Ann and a bunch of us. I'm like, so I'm in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and I'm like, Ann, and she's like, oh, Joy, I did just slide. So if Minnesota girl, I'm freaking, so the disastrous outcome, that's me. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta go get my babies. And boondocks, like Harmony Grove Church Road, some of you know that road, ridiculous road. Some people bike on it. If you bike on that road, I will blow my horn at you. Oh my gosh, I'm like, go to a subdivision. So people are, I'm driving, I'm sliding, and listen, there was no faith. I am freaking out. Oh my God, calling Todd, get home. And my husband he is the absolute opposite of me. He's like, it's not going to do anything. Ask him where he spent the night at my father-in-law's house, because he couldn't get home. Or my father's house, not my father, my father's house. So I finally get to the schools and get all my children. My Sydney has on capri pants and Toms, no socks. And for what awaited us, that was a big deal. So as you can imagine, when they finally called school, and we're by a high school. So who is exiting the high school? Teenagers. So who's driving home on this very curvy, dangerous road? Teenagers. So I got all my babies in the car, and they are so happy. They are like, we're out of school. We're going to go play in the snow, blah, 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 blah. And what happens? Mommy's fear and mommy's freak out transfers to the whole car. We can't get up a hill because some teenager just slid down and crashed. Mommy starts crying. Sydney, who is exactly like her mother, starts freaking out. Now, when she got in the car and we started the drive, they were happy, so excited. But mommy's fear transferred to the whole lot of my kids. We ended up having to park on a gravel road, praise the Lord, for a dear friend who lives there, because I did not want to wreck my new van. And we little housed on the prairie to Bentwater. Sydney and her Toms and her Capris. And we walked home. And as we were walking home, the fear lifted off of me. And then it lifted off my kids. And the Holy Spirit said, Joy, you just transferred it to your babies. Why not transfer the trust that I got you? Mom, the power of our influence. Do you understand how powerful it is? The very lies that try to entangle me. Y'all, my little 10-year-old was never claustrophobic at all. But mommy is so claustrophobic, and now he hates getting in an elevator. Y'all. The things, the simple things, the easy things that entangle me. If you don't think they will not entangle your kids, I just want to tell you they will. That is why we have to know what our entanglements are. We have to know. Scripture shows us a hugely powerful story of the power of a mother's influence. It's in Genesis. It's the story of Rebekah. You know, Isaac, Esau, and Jacob, the twins. Rebekah is the mother. And I want to read this story and just show you the power of a mother's influence. Rebekah was listening at the doorway as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. You know, he was the first. So he was the one that was going to receive the blessing. When Esau went into the field to hunt for game to bring to his father, Rebekah called her son Jacob, who she loved the most. Rebekah says, I heard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me game and prepare for me some savory food to eat so I can bless you before the eternal, before I die. My son, listen and do what I tell you. Go to the flock and bring me two of the best young goats. I can prepare the savory food for your father from them. I know just how he likes it. Then you take it to your father to eat so that he speaks a blessing over you before he dies. Jacob to Rebekah, his mother, look, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I have smooth skin. If father reaches out and touches me, he'll figure it out and think I'm mocking him. Then I'll bring a curse upon myself instead of a blessing. Rebekah, if that happens, then let the curse be on me and not you. Here it is. Just listen to me. Go and get them for me. And Jacob went and brought the young goats to his father, his mother, who prepared a mouth-watering meal, just as his father liked it. And if you know the story, he gave Jacob the blessing. And Jacob would be the one that would run for his life until he wrestled with an angel at the brook. The power of a mother's influence. Now listen, I am all about obedience in my house. My motto is, you obey all the way. Right away, and with a happy heart. Listen, I still got a spanking spoon out for my 10-year-old. It's in my purse. You obey right away, all the way, and with a happy heart. I'm all about obedience, and I'm not talking, that's not what I want to show in this story. I want to show the power of a mother's influence. Y'all, I want my children to obey, but I want my influence of an abiding relationship with Jesus that I do not freak out or go to fear. That's the inheritance I want my kids to, I want transfer to my kids, not my bonds and not my chains. I have a huge, huge need for approval. Huge need. It's a huge need. I know that in myself. And y'all, my 16-year-old is exactly the same. But you know what? I see the weed in me, so I can tend to the weed in her. I see the weed in me, so that I can tend to that weed in her. Not long ago, I was in a counseling session. Yes, I had a counseling session. I am all for counseling, y'all. The counsel of the Word of God is my first source of counsel, absolutely. The Holy Spirit, that is one of His jobs, is a counselor. But listen, sometimes I think you need somebody to help. I love the story of Lazarus. Jesus comes to the grave and He yells out, "Lazarus, come forth." And I was reading, studying on that. I'm going to be teaching on that at some point. And I love it. It says, why do you think Jesus called His name? It's because if He didn't say Lazarus, every other dead person would have come out of the grave. Woo! Man, woohoo! But then what happens? He calls him out of the grave. He calls him out of his dead state. But then He says, "You unbind him." And I believe that's what counseling does. I believe Jesus can set you free from anything, absolutely. But sometimes you need some people to help unbind you. And I sat myself in the room with two ladies, and they just did some unbinding. Woo, I got chills. Woohoo, Jesus, You are so good. Because I don't know if it's because I'm old. I want full exposure. I want to know it. I want to know what my issue is. And as we were sitting in this counseling session, she was walking me through, you know, my image of my earthly father. And, you know, I went in thinking, because I had these two memories, and I'm going to share them. If you come to the table, I'm going to share my story. I had these two memories that I couldn't get out of, that just rose up in my head, and just memories that I was like, oh my gosh. And I just, that was the catalyst for putting me in this counseling session. And so I really thought, because my dad was a wonderful dad, but I didn't really feel like I had his approval, which is why I sought it out from people. And so I thought, I'm going to go in there and it's going to be my dad. But y'all, we got to talking about my mom, and having the name Joy is a lot to live up to. Joy Martin. We can't have a bad day. We can't, like, be sour. Like, I've got people that, they'll text me, "I saw you go through Chick-fil-A, and you didn't, are you okay?" It's a lot of pressure. So my mama, you know, so named me Joy, and so we just started talking about this, and what kind of came up was that my mom just didn't really allow me to feel, like, you know, "Oh, you're fine," or just, and so what I did, what I found that I've done my whole life is I've kind of just stuffed, like, feelings. Like, it's just now that I'm okay if you cry. Usually before, like 10 years ago, if you came crying to me, I'd be like, "I'm out of here." Because I just wasn't really allowed to feel. And as we're walking through this, and these sweet ladies, and the Lord is bringing scripture upon scripture about this, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, broke into my heart, and He said, "And you are doing the same thing to your kids, particularly your daughters." Because at that time I had a middle schooler and a ninth grader, and you can imagine, I mean, I was in the shower, and my ninth grader came, "Can we talk about this later?" But of course my thing was, "You're fine, it's okay, go." So praise you, Jesus, that revelation of knowing my weed will now keep me with a holy dependence on Jesus from transferring that to my babies. Psalm 139 is something that I camp out in every day. I allow this psalm to be what I just, every morning I go to, and particularly these two verses, 23 and 24. It's my life verse in this season of my life. Explore me, O God. I was praying it this morning and as I was driving in here. Explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Not who y'all think I am. God knows who I really am. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. And man, I pray I do it well. Examine me to see if there's an evil bone in me. And guide me down your path forever. Mom, your daily abiding will result in a daily exposure to the things that keep you yoked to slavery. The very thing that Jesus has already set you free from. And I have to preach it to myself every day. You have got to know the lie you're believing. You got to know the lie you're believing before you can be set free, liberated from it. Jesus said in John 8:32, I love the Passion Translation, for if you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. The Voice Translation says you will know the truth. Know the truth, y'all. Know the truth. That means perceive, to become acquainted with. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not what social media says about you. Not what your husband says about you. The truth of God's word. You gotta know God's word. It will set you free and allow you to walk in freedom. I'm teaching this to my kids. You, mom, the baton is passed to you this morning. Teach it to your kids. I tell my 16-year-old all the time and my 13-year-old daughter, your emotions are not true. They are lying to you. That is not the truth. Become more aware with the truth so that you can know when you're being lied to. I sat right there Sunday morning at church, right here. And y'all, I'm in church, the house of Jesus. Worship music is going. I wanted to be up here leading worship, but we were supposed to have softball, so I couldn't. And then we got rained out, so I'm back there. So I'm already aggravated. And the whole time, I am battling thoughts of offense. I'm battling thoughts of just flat-out anger. And you know what the carrot was? It's the same carrot it always is. Validation, joy. They're not validating you. They don't love you. They don't appreciate you. They talked bad about you. They said untrue things about your character. It's the same carrot. The enemy's gonna dangle the same thing, mama, whatever yours is. He doesn't have anything new. Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it some kind of habit? What is it? He doesn't have anything new. Recognize the carrot. The more I can teach my kids to fight, 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 the more I can teach them, because the more I arm, that's me arming them with the truth, the more they will walk in freedom. I want to make sure that I know the truth, because that truth will allow me to move in freedom, because I'm already free. And maybe that's your carrot. Maybe you're sitting there or listening by podcast, and all that you're hearing is you're not worthy of that sacrifice. What you did in your teenage years, you are not worthy. That's the carrot that he dangles. Oh, I know that abortion. Oh, man. That extramarital affair. Oh, that pornography addiction. You are so dirty. Let me tell you something. There is nothing too dirty that your God won't make worthy. You shut that lie down. You take that carrot and you eat it with some hummus. But if you don't know the truth, Mom, if I don't know that I am the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus, then when somebody puts something on social media about me, I'm going to say, oh, but no, I'm that. I got to know the truth about me because it's what God says about me. And some of you are going into Ann's identity, and I am so excited because that is the huge thing for mothers. You can't transfer to your kids a healthy identity of who they are in Christ if you, the mom, don't know who you are in Christ. You got to know who you are in Christ. Galatians 5:1, Christ has set you free, but he is not a puppet master. It is up to you whether you will walk like a free man. We are so like the Israelites. Do you remember in Genesis? They're saying, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Now, Egypt was the place of slavery. There we sat around pots of meat and ate. See, even the Israelites, everything revolved around food. All the food we wanted, but you have brought us into the desert, Moses, to starve this entire assembly. Slavery was so familiar. That yoke of fear, y'all, it's so familiar. Listen, Sydney, we're going to the beach for spring break, and those of you who know me know I hate the beach. I'm actually learning to like it more, aren't I, Julie? I'm going twice this year, y'all. I know, I'm gonna send y'all a picture. I hate the beach. Well, Sydney's going down early with her boyfriend and their sweet parents. And I have already disastrous outcomes. Sydney, Connor, don't you let her swim if it's a double red flag. Don't go in the ocean if it's a red flag. Do not go near it. I mean, just I'm already gone there. And it's not even April. I don't worry about little boo-boos. I don't even own a thermometer. Aaron yells at me all the time. Like, I don't mind the little stuff. I'm like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. But things that I'm like, oh gosh, you're going to drown. You're going to be pulled away by a current. Like, I go there. That familiarity. And some of you know what it is. And this is what we'll say. This is what lots of people say. It's just in my DNA. I'm just like that. My mama was like that. My daddy was like that. And I say that. Y'all, my mama was. Man, she was such a good mama. But she worried. She would count her watch because back then we didn't have cell phones. When I would say I'm coming home from wherever I was coming home, she would look at her watch and she would say, I knew how long it would take you to get home. And if you weren't home by a certain area, I was calling the police. Like my mom, that is in my DNA. But listen, I don't live by the flesh, right? Romans 8:17. I am an heir of Christ Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are no longer a slave to fear. You're no longer the body. That is the truth, y'all. That is the truth. So when fear comes and tries to yoke itself upon you, you stand up to it and say, no, I'm no longer a slave to that. You see, it might be in your physical makeup, but it is not in your spiritual makeup. So make up your mind who you're going to listen to. I'm going to say that again because that had the anointing of Jesus on it. It might be absolutely in your physical makeup. Your mama might have been just like it. Your cousin, your aunt. But it's not in your spiritual makeup. So make up your mind who you're going to listen to. I put myself in a accountability group a couple years ago. And I say I put myself in it because I literally put myself in it because I didn't want any more friends. I know you think that I'm this social person because people that are on the stage and teach or sing or whatever, people usually like to think they're just this social butterfly. But those of the people that really know me know that I'm really like an introvert. Like, I really like to kind of be hidden. God just has allowed me to the honor of preaching his word, but I'm more of an introvert, and I guess I've just gotten older, And so I just don't let, I didn't have a lot of girl friends growing up, mostly guy friends. And so I just, girls, so I've got my few, I call them my 12. And so this accountability group, I was like, I don't want any more friends. But the Lord said, you're going in it. And I even told him that. When I stepped into that group, I said, listen, I didn't want any more friends. But y'all, it's been the best 2 years of, it has been the most benefit, it has reaped, it has exposed, it has been uncomfortable, but it has been so amazing. And one thing that you do when you first get in this group is you go around and you tell your story. And as we went around, there's about 8 of us. And I want y'all to know that all but about 1 of these 8, the story was the same. My mom just didn't know how to, she didn't know how to mother me. So I've struggled for years with who I am. And or my mom was an absent mom. She was interested in doing things for her. And some, even my mom abused me. And when I left there, I had this holy, anybody ever had this just holy anger? Like just welled up in my belly, just this righteousness. And I got so excited about Moms with Swords and the ministry of Moms with Swords. Because y'all, I am just bold enough to believe that because of what God does, not Joy or the leaders or a sanctuary church, what God does through the ministry of Moms with Swords, y'all, in 20 years, I am believing that my daughters will sit around possibly a table just like I sat around, and what they will say is, my mama knew who she was in Christ, so I know who I am in Christ. My mama knew her weeds, so she didn't allow them to become my weeds. My mom abided with Jesus, so my mom tended to my knees. I am just bold enough to believe that you have set yourself in here, and you are bold enough to believe that your child will not sit around a table one day and say, my mama didn't know how to be a mom. We are going to be like the eagle. We are going to be mamas that who are majestically flying over the tiredness of mothering, over the weariness of mothering, over the anxiety of mothering. And we are soaring because our hope and our trust is in the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of the armies of Israel. Because we know him. We are acquainted with him. And by golly, our children are going to know him. Now listen. If you've come in here today and you say, I've never tended to my weeds. I don't even know what they are, but I know I have them. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our prayer team. And Ann, you can start the music. Just start today. Just start today. God can do much, y'all. If you just take the first step, if you just take the first step, do it for your grandkids, do it for your nieces or your nephews. My sister, her kids are grown. She's like, I'm learning for my nieces and my nephews and my future grandkids. Y'all, there's no condemnation. I just want to light a fire under you and tell you to start today. If you have been locked in yokes of slavery, tell them to come off in the name of Jesus. Stop circling a mountain that God has told you to speak to. In the movie Gladiator, Maximus, I know every one of your husbands has watched it. I just watched this clip because I felt the Lord wanted me to end with this. Maximus is about to die. If you know, he's in the ring with lions and fighting. And he looks at the Greek king that has just been killed. And he turns to the guy and he says, free my men. And he dies. Y'all, hear your father today. He said it is finished on the cross. But I believe today God is beckoning you. His sacrifice was too great. He's saying, free my daughters. Be free. Be free, my daughters. If you need prayer, I want everyone to stand. We're going to take a song. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to close us out with a blessing, and you can go to your prayer groups. I don't want you to think about the person sitting next to you. If you want God to do something in your life and you need somebody to help in the unbinding process, there are prayer leaders stationed in the back. I want you to go. And if you don't want to go, if you don't need to go, then I just want you to pray for the sisters that do go, or just pray for your babies that they will not inherit the weeds that we have and that we will walk in freedom. Jesus, we trust you in this moment, Lord. We trust you that the word that you wanted us to hear has gone forth. May we hear you say to the daughters here and the daughters listening, be free. Be free. I have freed you. I died for your freedom. Be free. God, would you speak that over every one of the hearts, every one of the minds, God, and would you assist in the unbinding process, and may we walk out like free daughters. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's just move into prayer for a little bit. I just want to pray a blessing over you. And if you're still praying, if we're letting the Holy Spirit do his work in this place, if you know Moms with Swords, we flow. We flow with him, and his agenda trumps our agenda. But I just want to pray a blessing over you. I want to do this every week. And again, I know it's the first week, and man, we just started off right out of the gate, didn't we? If you know somebody who needs what God downloads in here, I would ask you to invite them next week. And I want to pray this blessing over you as you go to your prayer group, or if you are leaving. I'm praying freedom over you this week, Mom. Specifically, this is what you're going to look in your mothering. This is what you're going to look like in your marriage. This is what you're going to look like on your soccer team and your football teams and your dance troops. When all the other mamas are panicking and on the ground just freaking out, you are flying majestically above it because you know your God's got you. This blessing in Ephesians 3, Paul, I want to pray it over you. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your inmost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Love you.